You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everybody, welcome to Que Golazo. It's our weekend preview. We have Jimmy Conrad with betting tips and analysis, and James Bench, of course, with all the latest, especially as coronavirus continues to impact the English game. Que Golazo begins right now. Hey everybody, welcome to Que Golazo, our weekend preview with Jimmy Conrad. Jimmy, how are you, bud?
I'm good. I'm doing a lot of researching while you're talking, so I apologize for everybody watching on camera. I wasn't looking at the camera.
Listen, your research, it will forever be more important, even though we love your beautiful face.
That's true. I appreciate that.
And of course, we welcome once again. Every time I have him, I feel like I haven't seen him in so long, so it's always great to see him. James Bench, how are you, bud?
I'm good. I'm glad to be back. I keep getting bumped down the rotation. I'm like... I was going to say Julius Randle, but Julius Randle's playing really well. Who's a bad Nick? There are no bad Knicks.
There are no bad Knicks, James Bench. See, Jimmy Conrad is in trouble because with Jonathan Johnson, me and him just talk Villa, and me and James Bench are undying love for the New York Knicks. You just can't go wrong. I love it.
I've never seen the Knicks I can't remember a Knicks winning season. I think I was like 5.
Yeah, it was the 90s, and it's been a lot.
John Starks was running point for you guys.
My favorite player for the Knicks ever. I love it. But enough of the Knicks. We'll come back to that. By the way, James Bench, you are in our weekend preview, our most important, some may say, episode of the week. So here we are. Let's break it all down. We have to begin, obviously, with the issue, the ongoing issue, of course, of coronavirus and how it's been continuing to impact the game, specifically as we look ahead to the FA Cup this weekend. James Bench on CBS Sports website has written for us a comprehensive look at just the latest, including my Aston Villa, who is now currently staff team players, and Aston Villa women's team. Also, their game has been cancelled against Arsenal due to a spread within Bodymore Heath. Talk to us about it as much as so much more, James Bench. What is the latest?
Yeah, so as we record this, which is 11 a.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. in the UK on Thursday, we already have one FA Cup tie postponed. That's Southampton's game against Shrewsbury Town, which is a real shame. That was going to be a cracking game. For me, I grew up watching Shrewsbury Town. I was there when they beat Everton in the third round back in 2003, but that's by the by. Shrewsbury did not have enough players to field a squad. You are required to, if you can have 14 players in your squad, you're expected to play the game. Shrewsbury Town said they didn't have that. As Luis mentioned, Villa's game really in doubt. That's due to take place in just over 24 hours. That's in doubt as we record it because they've had to cancel training at Bodymore Heath. And as you say, the Villa women's game is off, although I think that's also to do with Arsenal women. They've got COVID cases within their own ranks. Derby County, they're going to have to field an under-23 and under-18 team because their whole first team squad is on lockdown. And then, I mean, there could well be more. I know Morecambe, who are due to play Chelsea.
Wait. So I'm just coming into this rule. So 14, you have to have at least 14 players So can Newcastle just say that they don't have 14 good enough players to actually field a good enough team to compete? Because they're struggling right now, and I don't think they're going to do well against Arsenal this weekend.
Maybe they should. But then there becomes the real problem, which is if Newcastle did that, much as Southampton are going to have to do that, there is no space. There is no space between now and the fourth round for these games to take place. Every Premier League team is playing midweek. I know this because I've been looking at every single night I'll be working over the next few weeks. So up till January the 23rd, there's no gap in the fixture list. Initial impressions, and people are still working this out, the initial impressions is that Shrewsbury-Southampton will take place during the fourth round. We'll play third round ties. I mean, this is such a shame. I don't want to belabor this point, but this is, you know, Luis will know this having lived in England, but I'm sure everyone around the world knows this is the highlight of the English football calendar for many. You know, this is the moment where we have upsets. We have huge games. We have, you know, Premier League teams playing each other is always great as well. And I'd be surprised if it's 31 games that we get. I think that number's going to go down, and it's really tough. And the fixture list is creaking hugely. It's a big problem.
Yeah, big problem. And also, you know, with so many teams as well playing catch up, including, of course, Villa, who still have two games to catch up to in the league. And now with this postponement, it's a big problem. So with all that, we have to take into consideration a big caveat, as Jimmy Conrad just gives us his info, his lowdown, his easy money betting tips on what's ahead in the weekend. I mean, Newcastle will play no matter what at this point, Jimmy. So just deal with it, okay?
I know. Well, if we're talking about upsets, or as we like to call it over here, cup sets, Marine is plus 5,000 to beat Spurs in the FA Cup. That game does end up happening. I don't know if you want to throw like $10 on that. Maybe you never know. I mean, Jose Mourinho is pretty good at one-off competitions. Maybe stay away from that one. I like Newport, though, actually. Plus 575 to beat Brighton straight up. Stockport, plus 750 to beat West Ham. There's just something about David Moyes. I just don't see him doing well. You know, I could see Stockport pulling it off. So those are the three that really stood out to me. Bournemouth, actually, plus 600 to beat Millwall. That's not bad value as well. But when we get into the bigger ones, you know, I don't know if Villa-Liverpool is going to happen. That's an interesting game, just given that Villa slapped around Liverpool earlier 7-2 when Virgil van Dijk was still healthy, which makes it even more impressive. But I just feel like with that game overall, really quick, Liverpool have been dealing with adversity for a few months. Villa needs to rest some players, even though I think Ollie Watkins will start for Villa. I just think that Liverpool's just like, yeah, whatever. This is a normal week for us. You know, we got to have a mixed up lineup and we're going to still have success. No problem. I like Minamino maybe to score anytime in that one. I think I like Liverpool to win. Sorry, guys, or the Villa fans here. Plus 230, both teams to score, I think. Now, Arsenal, Newcastle. Listen, I looked at this one. I don't know. You know, Arsenal are two different teams, or these two teams are going in different directions. Arsenal have won three on the trot. Newcastle are winless in their last six. You know, so Arsenal have the confidence and Newcastle have had the confidence smashed out of them, kind of like Steve Bruce's nose, you know, just like, are there any bones there? It just looks like mush. I don't know. That's a bad, bad joke. And I botched it to begin with, but I really liked that one. I was thinking about it a lot. Newcastle played Man City, Liverpool and Leicester in the last three matches. It hasn't been good. I know they got the draw against Liverpool, but they had 25% possession, so that's always fun to watch. Gabriel and Thomas Partey should be coming back into the team. Lascelles, Saint-Maximin might be coming back in for Newcastle. I think that will help. I think this one will be tight. I think they're going to make Arsenal earn it, but they're going to sit back in their 5-4-1, try to hope they hit them on the counter. I could see a 1-0 maybe to Arsenal here. I like the draw first half. Arsenal win second half, plus 350. That's my kind of thing there. Man United, Watford. That should be a good one. Obviously, United, we could get into this, guys, but, you know, obviously, we want to redeem themselves, giving up two set-piece goals to City to lose another semifinal, their fourth consecutive loss in a semifinal. I think they're going to be up for it. I think Mason Greenwood's going to start. I like him to score. United to win 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, or 3-1, plus 550. But you got to keep an eye on Troy Deeney for Watford. He always likes to show up against the big teams. Him scoring anytime is plus 240. So those are kind of my FA Cup odds that I'm really looking at the moment. We can get into the other European leagues later.
I love it. Let's stay with Arsenal, Newcastle, James Bench. I'm intrigued to see how Mikel Arteta lines up this one. Obviously, three wins on the trot. It's a cup situation, but I'm sure, as we all know from Arteta's philosophy, he's always thinking about, no matter who it is, what tournament it is, he's going to go all out. How do you see this one? It's at the Emirates, right? So how do you see this one?
I mean, I would be pretty confident that Arsenal will name quite a strong team. They have players that they need to bring back in. Partey, maybe, probably off the bench. It'll probably feature in some capacity. And also, I mean, Arsenal are not, as much as the season is swinging back in the right direction, Arsenal are not a million miles away from where they were at the end of last season, where it was the FA Cup or bust. You know, that you need to take this competition seriously because it might end up being your only route back into Europe. And as we've just seen today, they really need the money. They've just taken out a £120 million loan from the Bank of England. So this is an important competition for them. It's an important competition for Arteta. It's where he's kind of where he won the, you know, won the trust of the supporters. I'd expect him to go strong, you know, and rotate out more the younger players than the senior ones. So you might see someone like Aubameyang come in or start and try and get his goals, keep Lacazette in form. You know, Mesut Ozil can actually play this game as well.
Really?
He's in theory, he can play. He's not playing. But he could. Anyway.
He wants to stay healthy.
Yeah, exactly. He's got moves to prepare for. He's got boxes to pack, I'm sure.
He's got people for that, James. He's got people for that.
Oh, he has.
I don't know. I mean, just to jump in, Arsenal have won 14 out of their last 15 against Newcastle. They've got four consecutive clean sheets against Newcastle at home at the Emirates. As James mentioned, and as everybody knows, they win this competition for fun, the Gunners do. And because this is really their last chance to really, as James said, that they have to win this to really be relevant and get back into Europe. It's a must-win game in a lot of different ways. Newcastle, it's just hard. I don't know how much time we have for this podcast. Looking at my make-believe watch here, but they're bad. And I just feel like Arsenal are going to win this one, no doubt.
Can I drop in a stat that I found this myself, so I really want to share it with as many people as possible. I've been going down to dinner and telling my partner as well. She's like, I don't care. Hector Bellerin, he's now in his seventh season as an Arsenal first-team player. He has not lost an FA Cup match. He has won every single FA Cup match he has played and won the tournament three times.
The jinx is real here.
I got some guys at Opta to help me out as well. I think it's the longest, it's definitely the longest active winning streak in the competition. Obviously, he's injured quite often, so he's only played 11 games.
But, well, I was going to say.
Hector Bellerin, I think that is a remarkable achievement.
And, yeah, so if Bellerin starts, then we're good to go for Arsenal. Then.
I also, if everybody wants to look into like a specific player, I think Martinelli will have a big game. It's hard with these FA Cup matches. You don't know which team or players that the managers are going to start. They have a lot of options, want to play some younger guys and find that nice balance. But Martinelli, score anytime, plus 120. To get an assist, plus 450. I think he's going to be in and around the ball if he starts and plays. Obviously, he can be very pivotal for Arsenal, so keep an eye out on him.
Well, I'll tell you one player I really want to see once again, and that's Croydon's Kevin De Bruyne, Emil Smith Rowe. I think he's fantastic, and I think this is a great opportunity for him once again to show why he deserves to be a starter. He's just great. He's just such a good player, and this is, again, another opportunity against a team, sad to say, that's struggling to find any kind of form. So should be a good one. All right, let's move Manchester United Watford very quickly. United, James Bench, looked tired against City, I thought. Their legs are heavy, a toll taken on them from the recent success that they've been having. Obviously, Watford, relegated to the Championship. They have a new manager in Cisco, not to be confused with Cisco. who came from Dinamo Tbilisi. So, the style's a little different. But United did look tired. How do you see them? I mean, hugely rotational squad, I imagine, for this one. No? Or, again, another chance for Solskjaer to do something well?
He'll still play Bruno Fernandes, won't he? Because he's...
Which is weird.
It's like an obsession with him. What I found so odd about the way United looked so tired was it felt like they were pressing in the first half against City, like this was the opening game of the season, like this was a normal season. They were hair. And for a while, I thought, this is great. This is such a good tactic. And then I remembered, the games last 90 minutes and they're going to get tired at some stage.
Right.
I'm sure they will rotate. I was really surprised that Eric Bailly dropped out. I know Same he's having issues,
yeah.
But he's the ideal partner for a Maguire because he has the pace for when Maguire makes mistakes. no Cavani as well, I guess, is a big miss because he's who you want to bring in. You would hope maybe this is a competition where Mason Greenwood kicks on a bit. I still think this guy is absolutely fantastic, as exciting a young English player as there is, because I don't remember many players who can strike the ball as well as he can with both feet.
Yeah.
But whatever it is, whether it's confidence, whether it's tactics, I know he does kind of keep varying between a central role and wide on the right. He's not in form. He's not feeling it at the moment. I hope he can get some game time and get some goals and get back in the England frame.
Well, it's ever since his little problem, his little trouble that he got into. I feel like that's when the confidence has dipped, which is interesting, right?
And as it should, because people doing that stuff right now, they shouldn't really be playing for another 3 weeks anyway.
Right, right. So, Jimmy, we talked about it a little bit from your lines, United, Watford. Did they look tired to you? I mean, should they rotate a lot? Do they have a Bruno Fernandes twin? Is that why he's playing all the time? They need to rest him, surely.
Well, yeah, they have to rest him, in my opinion. They got Burnley on the weekend. I think that next Wednesday. So they are now kind of in the hunt for the Premier League. I think we've discussed that. They're right there. Big opportunity for them. I think they need to give him some rest at some point. They have Mata can come off the bench. You got Van de Beek. I mean, they bought him from Ajax for a reason. You might as well play him in a cup competition. At some point as a manager, I think you have to take a risk with some of resting some of your players. I think every manager is looking at this. Liverpool, Aston Villa, everybody's looking at like, okay, who can I sit and still hopefully have success? Now, we saw him do that in the Champions League with Istanbul Başakşehir here and tried to put out some crazy, you know, lineup and ended up losing in Turkey. I still cannot forgive him for giving up a breakaway to Demba Ba. 35-year-old Demba Ba from midfield is just so unacceptable on so many different levels. I'm still bitter about it. Like, how is your team shaped that bad? Anyway, so I wonder at who he's going to put out there, but they do have some depth. I think Telles will come in at left back for Luke Shaw. Twanzebe will probably come in as well for Maguire. McTominay, maybe Matic will come in. I think they have enough. And that's what I actually like about United this season is that they do have options off the bench, that they are not just an 11 or 12 deep. They actually have, you know, good solid 18, maybe 18 to 20 that you can rely on. Now you have to rely on them. At some point you have to take that risk. So I like Mason Greenwood to actually show up and be accounted for. Like I said before, I think I like him to score. Watford aren't very good away from home, only 3 wins out of 13. But of those 13 games, they've only given up more than one goal 3 times. So they are pretty stout defensively. And obviously when you got Troy Deeney, when he's pissed off and ready to play, I mean, he can definitely hurt you. So I like him to score anytime plus 240. I like both teams to score, United to win. But I really think now the focus, they're going to hope to get through this one. And then the focus is going to be turned to the Premier League.
Yeah. I mean, this is the key, you know, moment for all these teams to make sure, you know, as James said earlier, you know, it's an exciting time, you know, with all these lower division teams to try and do something, but it's also an opportunity for, you know, Premier League teams to really take care of themselves, especially in a COVID year. Before we move on and take a break and talk about the rest of Europe, very quick, Haller, Sebastian Haller going to Ajax from West Ham. I'm very intrigued by that. Like, why? Yeah, I'm not. And then I'm reading Snodgrass maybe as well going to West Brom, like, you know, cleaning house a little bit from a West Ham perspective. What the Haller move really intrigues me. Let's begin with you, James Bench. You wrote about it on the website. What do you make of it?
I think it makes sense from Ajax's perspective.
Oh, definitely for Ajax.
Yeah. Erik ten Hag worked with him at Utrecht and got a lot out of him, a lot of goals. It's Eredivisie, so they all count for like half. But from West Ham's perspective, I think they probably just look at this and they go, actually, we're committed to David Moyes now for the long term. Whether you agree or not, he's their manager for the next few years. And Moyes isn't going to play Haller a lot, so he's not going to go up in value. Best to get what you can for him now. And I mean, I reported it's about $30 million, which is half what they paid. It's, you know, it's not great, but it's also, it's a fair chunk to go and buy. The two names I've heard are Josh King at Bournemouth. He's out of contract at the end of the season. And Adam Hlosek at Sparta Prague, who shares an agent with Thomas Suchek, my favourite player in the Premier League. And it's another Czech player. You know, they've had loads of joy with Czech players. So it sort of makes sense for West Ham. It's a real shame. I think we saw a lot of snatches of a great player in Allaire, but I don't think he was quite right for Moyes' system.
Yeah, it just worries me a little bit because Miguel Antonio, Jimmy, you know, is not always fit and, you know, they have to. But I guess if the money's there and you can get somebody like Josh King to just, you know, get it for cheaper, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you have to look at the situation. You have to look at the temperament, let's say, of Sebastian Haller. I think he's 26. If he's not going to play regularly, he's got to find a place where he can. Ajax, obviously, still very good team, still competing at the highest levels. Unfortunately, they're going to the Europa League, but this particular season, but he's going to get more opportunities. He's going to probably find his confidence again. And then I assume Ajax will be like, all right, let's get this guy back on. And then maybe we can sell him for a profit. You know, they can move him back on again. He's still got a couple of years there where I think he could find some value. So yeah, it's really interesting. I was pretty surprised like anybody else with this move. Cause usually you don't go from the Premier League to the Eredivisie. But here we are, and Ajax obviously is the one you're going to respect a lot. If you're going to make a move back to the Eredivisie, that would be the team to do it.
I mean, a Champions League team, you know. So you know, it's not a bad move for him. By the way, shout out to Haller's bicycle kick against Crystal Palace a few weeks. I mean, we got to remember that one. That was such a beauty.
I was just thinking that as Jimmy was saying that I can't think of a more old-fashioned West Ham transfer move than Allaire scoring loads of goals over the next 2-3 seasons in an Ajax shirt and them going, oh, he looks good. That's completely disaster.
Did we used to have him? I think we did. Yeah.
That's funny.
All right. We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we're going to hit the rest of Europe, including some real tasty matches in the Bundesliga. Stay right here.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from the people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, everybody, to Que Golazo, Jimmy Conrad, James Benge. We're going to hit the rest of Europe, but just an update, because this is the season in which we live right now. COVID cases and news of COVID cases coming as we speak. Burnley just announcing a couple of cases in their club. Sean Dyche saying, you know, we have a couple of cases. It could affect us over the next few days. They have MK Dons on Saturday and Manchester United on Tuesday. So put a big asterisk on both those matches, James Bench, as these continue, and your piece, I'm sure, continues to be updated.
Oh God. Literally the second I get off here, I'm going straight back onto that, aren't I?
So we just have to make sure that we remember those, by the way, as you listen to this, all these things that are coming into play. All right, let's talk about the Bundesliga. Jimmy Conrad, some big games in Germany to look ahead to.
Yeah, there's two massive ones. Borussia Mönchengladbach, who qualified for their first knockout rounds in the Champions League, first time in their history, taking on Bayern Munich. That one is going to be very tasty. I'll get into the lines there really quick. And then RB Leipzig versus Borussia Dortmund. I mean, these are just two fantastic, tasty matchups over in Germany. We'll go back to BM versus BM here. Mönchengladbach hosting Bayern Munich. Mönchengladbach actually at home, plus 400 to win this one. The draw is plus 360, minus 175. If you're going to bet with Bayern Munich. Now, there are three certainties in life, fellas, and that's death, Texas, and not Texas. I don't know why I said it like that. But yeah, I guess Texas as well. Death, taxes, and never betting against Bayern Munich. Anytime I've done that, I lose big. So I'm going to go with Bayern Munich, as I always do. Last week's clean sheet for Borussia Mönchengladbach against Arminia Bielefeld was their first clean sheet since October. They give up a lot of goals. Marcus Thuram is out. He got caught spitting on somebody. So that's awesome for him. Gladbach also have spurned a league high 16 points so far, which is pretty incredible because they spurned a lot of points in the Champions League as well. So there's something about that team. Marco Rose, we all appreciate him as a manager, but there's something about that mentality of closing out games that they're lacking. Joshua Kimmich is fully fit. One of the best midfielders in the world. Alphonso Davies is fully fit. So Bayern Munich is really rounding into form, which is sounds about right for them. They're going to peak right when the Champions League gets going again. And so that'll be nice. But Bayern have given up. This is crazy. The first goal in eight consecutive games. So I found this. If you think Bayern's going to come from behind and win, it's plus 525. And they've done that in eight consecutive. Well, I guess they had a couple come from behind draws, but I think they're going to get the win here 3-1. I like Lewandowski to score, Bayern to win, both teams to score plus 200. Brielle Embolo scored his third goal, the game winner last week for Mönchengladbach. He's very good. He's playing a little bit better than Alassane Plea, who should come back into the team since Thuram is out. So there's a lot of attacking options. Both teams are good, but Bayern's going to do what they do. That's win games. They'll probably give up a goal because they're a little bit vulnerable in the back, but Lewandowski's going to score too. It's just written in the stars. That's what happens. So that's kind of how I feel about that game. So I don't know how you guys are feeling about it.
Well, I mean, I don't know what James Bench thinks, but not much to add for me. Bayern Munich is just Bayern Munich. They're just going to keep continuing to do their thing. I don't see anything else other than a win here for Bayern. You know, they could be down 2-0 at halftime, and then suddenly they can just wake up and destroy people. I imagine you think similarly, James Bench.
Well, no, of course I did. Of course I did. The only one thing I would caveat that with is, if you're looking for a vulnerability in this Bayern Munich team, it's definitely that right back spot. I don't think Benjamin Pavard, he might not even start. He's been that out of form. So you have Niklas Süle at right back, who I admire as a mountain of a man and would never question to his face. But he's someone that, you know, a direct pacey forward like player, or maybe Mbolo if he's played a bit out of position, could have some joy again. So yeah, as you say, that's probably how Gladbach score the first goal before Bayern score five.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Okay, well then the other game, RB Leipzig versus Borussia Dortmund. It's really a cracking affair. I think you got good value in every single bet if you like it. +150 for Leipzig to win at home, +240 for the draw, +180 for Dortmund to win. I think there's great value, as I said. The last meeting here though, back in June, Dortmund won 2-0. Erling Haaland scored both of those goals. And now Erling Haaland is back in the team, even though they have a new caretaker manager. When he's in, they do well. They're coming off of back-to-back 2-0 wins. Though they played Wolfsburg last weekend, and I thought they gave up a ton of chances. And if they gave up those same type of chances to RB Leipzig, who can hurt you in a lot of different ways, those are going to be goals. So I like a draw on this one. I think both teams are going to score. I think this has 2-2 written all over it. So draw both teams to score is +290. And I like Haaland to score first. He likes to really put a stamp on the game early. +320, I think, is really good value. So that's kind of where I'm leaning on those, to give you guys some of the exotics, as they were.
All right. Any thoughts on that one, James Bench, as Borussia Dortmund continues its path with their interim manager?
Keep an eye on Jadon Sancho. Looks like he's rounding back into a bit of form. 2 goals in 2 games. His first Bundesliga goal of the season, I think. Other goals have come in the cup competitions. If he and Haaland click in the second half of this season, then, you know, watch out Champions League. This Dortmund team has still got a lot of quality.
Yep, a very good point. Some good momentum there for Jadon Sancho and, of course, Borussia Dortmund. All right, let's do a quick whip around. Jimmy Conrad, some good games in Italy as well and possibly in La Liga.
Yeah, I'll start with Juventus versus Sassuolo. I don't really have any specific lines. Juve's the heavy favorite. Sassuolo's a little up and down after a great start to the season. They really struggle against the bigger teams. Juve's at home, and obviously Juve's coming off that big 3-1 win over AC Milan, where I actually thought Andrea Pirlo out-tacticked somebody for the first time this season and got the better of Stefano Pioli, who has been very good as a manager for Milan over the last, you know, 6 to 8 months. So that was a big thing. I think it's just going to give them a ton of confidence. I don't think Sassuolo has any chance. So let's talk about Roma versus Inter. I'm wearing the Roma kit right now. I love the Roma kits in particular. They're my favorite Serie A team. They coming off a big win, scored 3 goals early against Crotone and just kind of packed it in and did what they had to do to win 3-1. They're only 4 points off the top of the table. They're right there. They're within striking distance. So a big win against Inter Milan, who surprisingly lost to Sampdoria 2-1 this past weekend. They were somewhat in control of that game. Alexis Sanchez, I don't know, he stepped up to take the penalty. What? I mean, Benj, Luis, you're going to put your whole season on Alexis Sanchez taking a penalty? Like, give it to somebody else. You know, you got so many other players on Inter. Like, sure, Alexis Sanchez, you've been killing it the last few years. Why don't you step up and take it? And of course he missed. Ashley Young actually followed up. He hit the crossbar, you know, and I feel like that really shifted the game. Had Inter scored that, Romelu Lukaku didn't start. He was rested for this, but he did come on late. Maybe he probably would have taken it if he started, but that changed it. Then Sampdoria got a penalty. They scored it, and their confidence just went the other way. They scored another one to make it 2-0. Inter couldn't get back into the game. This is a must-win game for both teams. I'll be honest. Obviously, Inter has nothing left to play for. They're out of the Champions League, Europa League, all that stuff. They have to win this game. But Roma, actually, fun fact for you guys, are unbeaten in 9 out of their last 10 against Inter. Like, they just got Inter's number. Now, 7 of those are draws, but I don't know. I could see another draw here. Both teams to score +265 is what I'm looking at. Lukaku, he does show up. Him scoring anytime +115 is tremendous value for him. So I would look at those types of things. I think Roma are going to be tough to beat. They have been very good this season. I think they can see it the same way Inter can. Like, if we can just win this game, we're that much closer to at least being a real contender. But if they drop points, even with a draw, I think that hurts both of them. So we'll see. I don't know if they're going to be conservative or aggressive. I lean more towards conservative. I could see a 1-1, 2-2 here.
Well, the same thought can be done for Roma, right? It's such a tight matchup in the standings. They win this, they're even on points with Inter Milan. Obviously, Inter have a better goal differential, but it's super tight in Italy. James Bench, any thoughts from those games? Serie A looks really exciting, actually.
Yeah, it looks really exciting. I'm going to keep an eye on Milan against Torino because I don't think anyone's quite buying yet that this AC Milan team could be a real title challenger just because it's so many young players coalescing around Ibra. And this is the sort of game, you know, this is the sort of moment where we see whether a team is real, because I know Torino aren't very good, but they're, you know, teams that scrap at the bottom of the table, they're often really tough to go to at this time of the year. And I think if Milan can kind of respond to that defeat against Juventus, where they weren't bad, if they can respond to that in the right fashion, then I think we're looking at a serious contender. And, you know, that would be the ideal circumstances for Milan. Inter and Roma take points off each other and they get back to winning ways.
Yeah, very good point, especially since that was the first defeat for AC Milan in the league. So it would be interesting to see how, from a mental perspective, how they pick themselves up, albeit against a weak Torino. All right, Spain, Jimmy Conrad, anything there? There's possibly some good games?
Yeah, there is. I mean, let's just talk about the top of the table. Atletico Madrid have only played 15, but they're on top of 38 points. Madrid are second. They've played 17 games. They're on 36 points. And then Barcelona with their win. This at the San Mamés, which is not an easy place to play against Athletic Bilbao, did the business yesterday to win 3-2. Nice performance from them. They're now in third. So now we have the three that we always expect in the top three. They're on 31 points. So they have some work to do. And obviously Atleti, with two games at hand on both of those guys, are in a good spot. Atleti is who I want to focus on, though, because they lost yesterday to a third division side in the Copa del Rey. Away from home, 1-0. Obviously not a great performance. Atleti supporters obviously very upset. You know, anytime you get knocked out of a chance where you have a win a trophy, you're going to be upset. I think it's okay. It's one of those, as an Atleti supporter, I know we're talking about teams I like in different countries around the world, but if you're going to get knocked out of a competition, a cup competition, you'd rather it be done early. Otherwise, you're just like slogging through these Wednesday games. You're trying to like mix and match your teams. Now you're like, you know what? We're out of this one. And we can just focus squarely on the league. This is their league to lose in a lot of different ways. They're in a good position halfway through the season. Things are looking, a little bit less than halfway, but they're close. And they're in control. And so I like them to play Athletic, who just hired a new manager, who just lost to Barcelona 3-2. We're still trying to figure out their best 11 under this guy, Marcelino, who I like. But I think Atleti's going to do what they do. They're going to win 1-0. I like that exact scoreline, plus 325. That's the Diego Simeone special, winning 1-0 at home, which they've done four out of the last five times they played against Athletic at the Wanda.
Love it. I love it. And listen, by the way, especially for a Champions League side, you kind of don't care if you get out of a cup competition, because especially Atleti, they're trying to win La Liga and, of course, continue their run in the Champions League. All right, James Bench, Barcelona, all of a sudden, seven matches unbeaten. I thought it was Messi's best performance, actually, in a while. He was great against Athletic Bilbao. As Jimmy mentioned, they're third, 5 points behind Real Madrid. But obviously, a lot to do to catch up to Atletico, because they have two games in hand. How's it looking in La Liga for you?
I have no interest whatsoever in Barcelona in a football league. They're a clown car.
Good night.
They're a clown car. They're just really bad at football. And Messi will pay. They've got back to the stage where at least now Messi can paper over some cracks for them. Congratulations. You're still not a very good football team. The one that catches my eye is Sevilla against Sociedad. Sociedad is sort of sliding a lot. Really quite fast, three defeats in a row. Sevilla are heading in the opposite direction, maybe about to have Isco quite soon from what I'm hearing, so that should be a really fun, interesting game. I'm sorry Barcelona fans, I'm sure, realizing that, you know what our audience is, I'm sure I've alienated a lot of it with that, but
you're no longer welcome on the show, Benj, but it's okay. Keep going.
Don't worry.
We're just giving you our time.
So much more interested in post-Messi Barcelona right now than this horrible,
that's fair.
Horrible way of ruining the end of the career of the greatest footballer of my lifetime.
It's a very good point. It's a very good point. And listen, like, even though they're on this unbeaten run, it's still not enough right now anyways. And we haven't talked about Real Madrid, who I believe face Osasuna. Is that right?
That's right. Away to Osasuna.
Right. So, the race in La Liga as well is pretty tied with, as Jimmy mentioned, the three usual suspects. All right. So that's pretty much it. But I want to end it with any final thoughts from James Benger, Jimmy Conrad. Jimmy, let's begin with you. Anything you want to just quickly conclude with as we look ahead to the weekend?
No, just be smart and safe out there. I feel like I'm going to be a dad moment, put my dad hat on and just, obviously things are popping off in a lot of different ways, no matter where you live around the world. And just be thoughtful and take care of each other. I think positivity hopefully will win out. So that's it. Absolutely. That's all I got. Thanks for having me.
No, that's
and watch good. The Bundesliga. The Bundesliga is going to be cracking this weekend.
That's good words. James Bench, anything from you?
Yeah, sorry, I do. I know Jimmy's desperate to get away, but I have a question for him. I'm really interested to get both an ex-pro and a betting expert's take on this Kieran Trippier thing. I'll try and keep it quick, but basically,
yeah, sure.
When he was joining Atleti, he advised some of his friends to, quote, lump on, i.e. bet, on his move. Now banned for like 3 months. When you were moving, you didn't just sort of, you didn't come home and tell the family, yeah, we got to pack up and go. So what's the balance here?
So yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, obviously the intent to try to make money off something that he knew, insider information, is not a good look. I think they're probably trying to set a precedent so that it doesn't happen again. I think one of his buddies only won like 18 pounds or something, which is really funny that he's getting suspended for 3 months because his buddy won 20 bucks. But it's yeah, I guess it's more of a precedent and trying to make sure that gets kind of squashed right at the beginning, as opposed to seeing more players do that as more of this gets passed around and there's more rumors and all that stuff happening. There's more lines on people moving to different teams. I don't think that really existed when I was playing. I think that dates me a bit, but yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. You definitely are gonna, if you're about to make a move, it makes sense you're gonna talk to the people you trust the most, which means a couple buddies, means your family, means, and that those whispers can get out there. And if there are lines out there for player movement, they should just, if there's another way to handle this, which is just get rid of odds that have player moving to different teams. I mean, there's two ways to handle this. And I think they could probably have a conversation about that as well with all the bookies, to saying, hey, listen, this is not a good look for the game. There's just too much insider information. And, let's just kind of move it along from there. But also, he should be smarter about that. And I think they're trying to send a message.
I just think it's absolutely hilarious that this is all because of a round of Stellas. Like, that's literally 20 quid. Like, that's it. Like, it could have been so much worse that it was just like 18 pounds. Absolutely hilarious. Well, what do you think, James? 3 months is a lot, but I guess there's a good point. It's got to set a precedent.
Yeah, I mean, I really agree with Jimmy that I find that betting on transfers, and we are all excited by transfers, but it's not what the game should be about. People don't, largely bookies are putting out these transfer odds to kind of make money off people that don't know, but it is open to much more easy manipulation than in-game odds are. I mean, like you, I find it hilarious just to go through Kieran Trippier's WhatsApp group names and realize that every man in the United Kingdom is a member of a WhatsApp group called Pint. it just 3 months for that just seems like the punishment doesn't fit the crime. When we see some of the other when we see what people are being punished for breaking COVID regulations, it really annoys me that Trippier is now kind of banned for crucial parts of the season.
I was just gonna say
Benj brought up the fact that I was in a hurry to get out of here, and it's only because I was cashing my ticket because I had some insider information that Sebastian Aller was going to Ajax, and I just made $5,000. So I'm out of here, everybody. A little bit more than the 20 quid, but thank you for having me.
All right, well, that's worth it, I think. All right, well, that's all the time we have for James Benj. Thank you so much, buddy.
My pleasure.
Jimmy Conrad, thank you as always.
Thank you.
I want to thank Jimmy Conrad and James Benj for joining me today. Don't forget to listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. Watch us on YouTube. Leave a rating and review wherever possible. And follow us on Twitter on Que Golazo Pod. Have a great, great weekend. And just like Jimmy said, stay safe.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Here's where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New.
criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10/9 Central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.